Mark chapter number 14, Mark chapter 14. She was singing the end of that song there. It's well with my soul, I was thinking. I told you all I went to my friend's funeral the other day. It was Mennonite, old order Mennonite. And the men sat all on one side of the church. We went in one door and we sat on one side of the church. The ladies went in the other door and sat on the other side of the church. And there were somewhere between 400 and 450 people there at this funeral. I mean, I literally counted the pews and there was at least that many people, if not more, at this funeral. But when they sang with conviction. They sang with their whole heart. They sang because they believed what they were singing. And it was evident in the way that they sang. And as they were singing, "It's well with my soul." There's some songs you sing, and "It's well with my soul" is one of them that it just makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck, and I want to get up and shout. And as they were singing that song, I wanted to get up in the midst of that and just go Baptist on them. Amen? And just have a shouting fit. It was just no music, just a cappella. But just the power in the words of the song and the conviction from which they were singing it was just so tremendous. It was something I'll never forget. Young men sat on either side of me that I see them all the time. They farm the property next to me. And you think just a pair of dairy farmers. But man, I said, "Brother Jim and Tanya wouldn't know how to act if they had the Muhlenberg boys in the choir singing with us." Never believe it. Just what tremendous singing. Then I hear our young people singing and just belting it out. And just tonight just thrilled my heart again. I'm thankful for what we have here at this church. Amen. Might not mean a whole lot to a lot of other people, but it means a whole lot to me. Amen. We're blessed. Turn in your Bibles with us tonight into Mark chapter 14. If you've not found it yet, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on a feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." Look at what he says right here in verse number 8. "She hath done what she could." Isn't that something? She had done what she could. Have you all done? Have we all done what we could? Have we done as much as we can? She had done what she could. "She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight just for the privilege we've had to be in your house already. And Lord, as we practice that song that just makes the hair stand on the back of my neck every time I hear it, I've come to tell you he's alive. It just stirs me, Father, to hear the young people that have sung tonight and the song that Brother Steve sung. God, it just stirs me tonight. And Lord, as you've moved in our midst, God, already, we just pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us as we look to your word, to be stirred and moved by your word, God, to the place where you'd have us to be. Help us now, Lord, to humble our hearts and our lives before you and to do before you what is necessary, God, to give honor unto your name. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you'll do. Asking all things tonight in the lovely name of Jesus. We say amen. Amen. We have the story of the anointing of Jesus in Simon the leper's house. And we see a few things here that God just laid on my heart. The most important was there in verse number 8. She's done what she could. And I think about that, and we need to ask ourselves tonight, and we need to ask ourselves every day. At the close of every day, we probably ought to stop and ask ourselves, have I done what I could for the name of Jesus? Have I done what I could for his cause? We see first the woman that has come, and she's a woman that the Bible tells us over in John chapter 12. We know her identity. It's Mary, the mother of Lazarus, and Martha, as she has come to anoint Jesus. And we see she's coming because she has something to be thankful for. She has something that she wants to express her love because of. Jesus has recently raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. Amen. He's lifted her up, and he's strengthened her, and he's brought her, he's brought him back from the grave, and she's seen what Jesus has done. Not only that, Jesus has blessed their home and has graced them with his presence so many times, and has been a blessing unto them. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been Mary in that day? Can you imagine what it would have been like to have Jesus come and sit at your house, sit at your table to teach, and you were able to sit at his feet and learn of the things that he's teaching? Could you imagine what it would have been like to have been Mary, to call for Jesus, and because of the delay, see your brother die? But see Jesus come and just speak his name, and he live again. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be Mary, to love Jesus the way that she loved Jesus, that she had an intense desire to pour out everything that she had within her on Jesus? Her life was now not lived for herself, or her life was now lived for Jesus, because she had something special in her heart to share with Jesus. She was a woman who was greatly loved. The Bible says over there in John chapter 11 that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, their brother. You know, tonight you're greatly loved. Jesus loves you. Amen. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his life for you. He loved you so much that he went and he's done more for you than anybody, any human being, any individual, any deity that is worshipped could have ever done for you. There's no one. I love that old song. Brother Jim sings it for me every now and then just to stir my heart. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Aren't you glad to know Jesus tonight? Aren't you glad that you can love someone that loves you even more than you can love them? I don't know, I try to love my wife, but I see the little things she does, and somehow it makes me think that maybe she loves me more than I love her. I tell her she don't. Amen. But maybe in reality, she does. Maybe you love someone that loves you more, and you don't really realize it. But if you never knew it, let me tell you what, Jesus loves you more than you could ever love him. And the Bible tells us that all we can do is to love him back. And the only way that we can love him like he loves us is the way that Mary loved Jesus. Love him with everything that we have. You know, Jesus said the scribes were tempting him, and they said, you know, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, you know what the commandments say, you know, obey the commandments. And Jesus answered him and said, first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Can we love God like that? Do we love like God like that? That's the way he loved us, with everything he had. Everything was in his being. And Mary, she's come to Simon's house. He's right in the neighborhood. Jesus is there in Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus had lived, was there in Bethany. And now Jesus has come into Simon's house, a neighbor's house, a friend's house. And they came and they seen Jesus there. If you go over in John chapter 12, you can read that they were there. I'm not making this up. Amen. They were all there. You know what? When Jesus is someplace and you love him, you want to be there. Amen. That's why I love to come to the house of God. That's why we call it the house of God. This is the meeting house. Amen. But I believe he shows up. Amen. I believe his word says where two or three are gathered in his name, he would be in the midst. Amen. But you know what? He can show up at my house. Amen. He can show up at your house. He can show up anywhere. But we see that the individual that is focused on here with Jesus is Mary, this woman that has come because she has a great love for Jesus. And she has a lot to love Jesus for because of all that Jesus has done for her. And tonight, she would beg a question of all of us. Jesus has done so much for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. He's coming one day to get you, to take you to a home that he's prepared for you. And if he thinks that much of you and loves you that much, the question that is begged by Mary's example is, shouldn't we love Jesus likewise? First we see the woman, but then look in verse number 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Then we see the waste. The Bible said that she had a vessel with a spikenard, ointment of spikenard, about 300 pence worth, about almost a year's wages worth. It was probably her greatest possession. It was probably the most valuable thing that she owned in life. You know, we stop and we think about houses, and we picture houses, and we get our idea. We get so many ideals because we don't take the time to study, amen, of what things are talked about in the Bible. If you had a reality check on some of the things that you believe, amen, it would humble your heart greatly. We think, well, surely her house was worth more than this spikenard, this ointment of spikenard that she had. Probably not. Did anybody that we told about it ever take the time to go up to the National Christmas Center? Did you remember as you almost finished going through the tour and they had the house that looked like a typical house in the time of Jesus' birth wasn't much. It wasn't this big McMansion that we live in. It wasn't this 1,000-square-foot dwelling that we live in. Actually, it wasn't much bigger than that little room right there. If you've never been there, go check it out. And realistically, they didn't have a barn. The animals lived in the house with the inhabitants. There was a platform made where the family would sleep. A loft. And the animals lived in the house with you below the loft. There's a couple reasons for that. One was they were very poor people. The second was, in the wintertime, the warmth of the animals combined with the warmth of the people helped to keep the house a little bit warmer. It isn't what you think about. It isn't what you picture and imagine. It isn't what they show on TV, and it isn't what you can conceive. The reality of it was a very meager place to live. But Jesus would come, and he would visit with them there. And now Mary has come, and she's brought the most valuable thing that she's had. How she's acquired this, I don't know. It might have taken most of her life to acquire the funds to even be able to buy this vessel that contained this ointment of spikenard. And she breaks this vessel and she begins to anoint Jesus with it. And then the crowd gets indignant, and some amongst the bunch says, "Why was this waste made?" And we always want to lay it over in John's narrative, John's story of this account. We always want to lay it all on Judas. But it wasn't Judas alone. It wasn't a single individual. It was some of the other disciples. It was some of the people who were there. It was some maybe whom Jesus had touched and who Jesus had ministered to. Maybe some of the ones who had had their eyes open, their lameness had been healed. Maybe in some way Jesus had impacted their life, and they were screaming, "What a waste! Why was this waste made?" Do you ever stop and think about that? How many of you have been told that you're wasting your money when you're tithing to your church? I've been told that a multitude of times. How many have been told that you waste your time when you go to church three times in the week, perhaps, or more? How many of you are told that you're wasting your time spending all that time studying the Word and looking to the Word and dealing with the Word, taking time to read the Bible? I'm going to tell you all something. I'm going to give you a little bit of spiritual insight. When you leave here tonight, be very careful. The cops got somebody pulled over right up there. And just a little bit ago before church, he pulled somebody over up there. The Lord told me to share that with you. Amen. But people drive by the church and they say, "What a waste." And people are wasting their time. They're wasting their abilities. Man, did you hear that individual sing? Why are they wasting their talent singing in church? Why aren't they singing to make money and singing to get rich? Why are they just wasting their time there singing at the church? Do you know what a teacher that individual could be? If they would just quit worrying about that church and just go to school and get an education, that they could be the greatest teacher. They're just wasting their talents. They're wasting their time. That's what the world sees. But sadly, that's what so many in the church see too. See, it wasn't just Judas. Look at what it said. And there were some that had indignation. No doubt it was some of the other disciples. No doubt it was some of the local crowd that had come and gathered around. No doubt it was some of the people that you would have thought, they'd be the ones saying, boy, that was awesome what she did. That was awesome. Did you know she brought that very expensive ointment of spikenard and she broke that vessel that could never be sealed again and she poured it out on Jesus. She gave everything she had to Jesus. You'd have thought there'd have been some that would have hushed the murmurers up. But just like today, so many think that what you're doing for Jesus is a waste of time, a waste of talent, a waste of resources. But just think where so many would be in this world if it wasn't for all the money we wasted here. Amen. According to the world. I'll waste my money, if that's what they want to call it. Amen. To send missionaries to tell the world about Jesus. Amen. I'll waste my money to give a testimony in what our church does, not that it's about the church, but that we do the things we do for the cause of Christ. We make it first. I make it first and foremost, foreknown everywhere, that our first goal in everything that we do here is to uplift Christ, is to glorify Him. It's not about this church. It's not about the people here, but it's about the one that we've come to worship, the one that we serve here. Amen. And if the world sees it as a waste, that's fine. But so many in the world have come to find Jesus because of what's happened right here. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as Paul's finishing that most famous of scriptures, that most one of the most known scriptures in the Bible, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The world might see it as a waste, but my God sees it as an offering. I don't have anything that I can give. It all belongs to Him. Amen. All the money in my bank account is the Lord's. I have it there because He let me have it. The house I live in belongs to the Lord. Amen. I have it because He allows me to live there. The job I had when I was working, it was the Lord's. I had that job because He provided it for me and He allowed me to have it as long as I was there. Everything I have belongs to Him. There's only one thing that He gives me and gives me the free rein to choose what I'm going to do with that. And that's me. Amen. And He wants me to know that the offering I make to Him isn't in vain. It's not a waste. The investment that I make in seeing the gospel go to a lost and a dying world will never be considered useless in the eyes of God. Matter of fact, over in Hebrews 6, verse 10, it says, for He is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name. See, God's mindful. And the world might look at it, and the world might say it's a waste. Other Christians might say the things that you're doing is a waste. Some people think some Christians are too carried away. You know, they want to come on Sunday morning, and that's the last you'll see. Maybe they come Easter Sunday, and maybe they come Christmas, and that they want to think everything's all right, and the rest of you just wasting your time. But God doesn't think it's a waste. God says it's our reasonable service. It's what we can do. And all we have to offer is us. Everybody else might not think it's worth it, but my Lord does. Look at what he says here in verse number 8. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She has done what she could. Mary didn't know what else to do. She didn't know how else to show her love and her gratitude for all that Jesus had done for her and done for her family. And she done what she could. See, the Lord don't ever require from any of us anymore than what we can and what we're able and what we should do. Do you remember the parable Jesus taught about the talents? And the man was going away, the master was going away, and he gave to each of his servants so much money. And what's it say? He gave to each one according to their several ability. Amen. See, he don't want any more from us than what we can give. He don't expect any more of us than what we can do. And she done what she could. Jesus knew she done all that she could. She went above and beyond what most people would do and done all that she could. And tonight, it begs the question of us, are we doing all that we can? Amen? Are we doing all that we can? I don't beg for money. I don't beg for anything in the church. The only thing I want is to see you faithful to God because He's been faithful to you. Amen? If you'll just be faithful to God, everything else will take care of itself. Amen? If you'll just be faithful to God, the finances in the church take care of themselves. If you'll just be faithful to God, the work that needs to be done in the church, it takes care of itself. If you'll just be faithful to God, the ministry, the gospel will take care of itself. If we'll just do what we can. When we don't do what we can, we miss out on so many blessings. Amen. Do you realize that Mary was the only woman that got to anoint Jesus for His burial? The Bible says over in John when Nicodemus and what was his name? Joseph of Arimathea, yeah. When they buried Jesus, they had 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe, but they didn't have the ointment of spikenard. They didn't have that. They had the incense, the myrrh, and the aloe, and so many other stuff, but they didn't have the stuff to really do the proper anointing. They done as the Bible said they done after the custom of the Jews. They throwed some stuff in there, wrapped him up, and throwed him in the grave. But they didn't do a sufficient job. They done what they could. Amen. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that the women came the first day of the week, and they were bringing the spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Mary did what she could, and she was the only one that ever got to anoint the body of Jesus. Do you know tonight you might be the only one that gets to do for Jesus what needs to be done? Sometimes you're the only one that's going to be able to minister to a particular individual. You're the only one that's going to have the opportunity to minister to an individual. You're perhaps the only one that's going to have the words that an individual is going to listen to and will hear. But you can't do it if you're not doing all that you can. If you don't do what you could. She's done what she could. Question that is begged here. Am I doing all that I can? What I can? Jesus doesn't ask more from us than what we can do. Jesus doesn't ask more from us than what we should do. Jesus doesn't ask more from us than what we ought to feel obligated. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Because she has done what she could, she was the only one that got to anoint Jesus. Colossians tells us over in chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. She hath done what she could. She's poured out what she could. She could have held back. She could have given something else, something less. She gave what she could. She could have chose not to go that night. But being there, she's done what she could. See, a whole lot of things could have went a whole lot of other ways. But she done what she could. And then Jesus said, the wheresoever. Wheresoever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You know, people may not remember a lot of times what you say, but it seems they never forget what you do. Amen. The Lord said lip service is easy. He said, "This people draw nigh to me with their lips and with their tongues, but their hearts are far from me." Our actions speak louder than our words. Our actions tell a much greater story than what the words can tell. She took her hair and dried the tears that fell upon his feet. My, how she loved her master so. Her reputation less than pure, but only he could see. Her tears were for the day they'd lay him low. But in her hand she held a vessel filled with sweet perfume. An exorbitant price, but she paid the price. Its fragrance filled the room. What love, love that knows no price. Asking nothing in return, the kind you give and don't think twice. What love, never holding one thing back. Such a love that she would give the best she had. What love, from a precious little baby to a man of 33, down through the years God watched him grow. From a little town called Bethlehem and up to Calvary and up that Awful Hugh God watched him go. What he felt inside his broken heart, God only knows. But the hammer struck and the vessel broke. Then came that precious flow. What love, a love that has no price, asking nothing in return, the kind he gave, and don't think twice. What love, never holding one thing back, such a love that he would give the best he had. What love. You see the story of Mary anointing Jesus is a story of love and admiration, love and care, love and compassion. We ought to love Jesus because of what he's done for us. If we could just get a picture of how much he loved us, how much he shared his love to us, or we'd love him like the woman Mary. We wouldn't consider anything that we could give unto him a waste of our time or resources. We would do whatever we could to uplift and to glorify his name. And we would leave a testimony to those behind us of the life that we live before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I hope my kids, when I'm gone, look back at my life and they won't say I was a saint. They won't say I was perfect and I didn't make mistakes or do wrong. But to be able to look back at my life and say I love the Lord. Amen. And I was willing to do what I could so that others would know how much the Lord loved me and how much I loved him. Tonight, the scripture has begged a lot of questions of each one of us as we stand to our feet.